Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, The Lord Instructs Sanatana Goswami, Text 309. Right. Please repeat. Dugdha, milk, yena, as, amla yoge, in association with a sour substance. Dadhirupa, the form of yogurt. Dhare, takes. Dugdha antara, something other than milk. Vastu, substance. Nahe, is not. Dugdha, milk. Hoite, to be. Nare, is not able. Dugdhayena amla yoge dadhirupa dhare. Dugdhantara vastu nahe dugdhaite nare. Dugdhayena amla yoge dadhirupa dhare. Dugdhantara vastu nahe dugdhaite nare. Dugdhena mluki upadhare. Dugdhantara vastu nahe dugdhaite hare. Dugdhayena amla yoge dadhirupadhare. Ladies. Dugdhayena amla yoge dadhirupadhare. Dugdhantara vastu nahe. Translation. Milk is transformed into yogurt when it associates with the yogurt culture. Thus yogurt is nothing but milk, but still it is not milk. Purport. Of the three deities supervising the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the universe, Lord Vishnu is never separate from the original Vishnu. However, Lord Shiva and Brahma, due to their association with Maya, are different from Vishnu. Vishnu cannot be transformed into any form of material energy. Whenever there is association with Maya, the personality involved must be different from Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are called Guna Avataras, for they associate with the material qualities. The conclusion is that Rudra is not exactly Lord Vishnu, but rather a transformation of Vishnu. Therefore, he does not come within the category of Vishnu Tattvas. Thus, he is inconceivably one with Vishnu and different from him. The example given is in this verse is very clear. Milk is compared to Vishnu. As soon as milk touches a sour substance, it becomes yogurt or Lord Shiva. Although yogurt is constitutionally milk, it cannot be used in place of milk. Dugdhayena omla yogi dadhirupadhari dugdhantaravastu nahi dugdha huite nare. Milk is transformed into yogurt when it associates with the yogurt culture. Thus yogurt is nothing but milk, but still it is not milk. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyanjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Minatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Mangayati Grimyat Kripataraham Mandi Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So here Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues his instruction to Sanatana Goswami and explains one of the tattvas. There are different tattvas or truths or substances, and the substance of the supreme absolute truth is called Vishnu Tattva, the origin of which is Krishna Govinda. That is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that of all avatars of the Lord described, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme. He is Ete Chamsha Kalapumsam. He is of all of them, he is the topmost. He is the fountainhead, or as like Brahma Samhita describes, he is the first candle from which many other candles. Exactly like him manifest, but he's the original. Dipaarchireva hi dashantram abhyupetya dipayana vivrita hetu samana dharma. So Govindam Adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship this supreme personality of Godhead, Govinda, from whom countless of Vishnu tattvas emanate. So another tattva is Shiva Tattva. This is described here, a very similar to Vishnu Tattva, but yet different. Just like yogurt is a very similar substance to milk, it's actually milk, but it's different still. So why the Supreme Lord manifests such a special type of tattva? Because there are different tattvas, Vishnu tattva, there is Shakti tattva, the personification of his various energies, there is Jiva tattva, the living entities, and there is Shiva tattva. So why it is there? Well, here we'll see later on described that for the purpose of creation, and of course Prabhupada here indicates that because Vishnu is the one who is behind all the creation, as Maha Vishnu, he lies in the causal ocean of the material. Actually, in the this is called causal ocean, is the Viraja River, another name, which lies between the material and spiritual spheres. And from there, from the pores of his body, come unlimited universes. So he is the origin of all material universes and material worlds. But later on, he, after each universe is created with all the material substances inside, he also enters as Garbhoda Kashaya Vishnu at the bottom of this universe, from whose navel comes, from the lotus of its navel comes Brahma. And then Shiva is also there as the one who destroys, because Brahma is the secondary creator. He creates all the detailed living, all these features of the universe. And when the time comes for the universe to be destroyed, then Lord Shiva, that's his duty or his service. Therefore, he, because destruction means the quality of tamoguna, the quality of ignorance, that he is the lord of that. Somebody has to create the universe, so that is given to a most qualified living entity, or if there is no such available, then Vishnu takes that part as Brahma, and then Vishnu maintains, or the creation is Rajaguna, is the passion, then the maintenance is Sattvaguna, then this Vishnu in his third expansion as Paramatma, And then the destruction is the duty of Lord Shiva. So, because, as Prabhupada says here, Vishnu cannot be touched by Maya even when he is in the material universe, when he enters each Atomas Paramatma, he is never touched. But somebody has to associate with Maya intimately to produce the living entity. So that is the role of Shiva and Durga. And this is described in Brahma Samhita. Srishti stiti pralaya sadhana shakti rekha cha eva yasya bhuvanani bibharti durga ichan rupam api yasya cha cheshtate sa govindam adi purusham tam aham rajami. Srishti stiti pralaya, again the material energy which is personified by Durga is behind the Srishti Stiti and Pralaya, also the three phases of creation, but she is not independent because she is each of her actions are inspired or ordered by the Supreme Lord. And in the next verse it's described Kshiram Yatha Dadhivikara Vishesha Yogat, which is the actually next verse quoted from Brahma Samhita in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanjayate Nahitata Pritukasti Heto Yaksham Bhutam Apitata Samupaiti Karyat Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So milk changes into yogurt when mixed, it's the same explanation. Kshiram, milk, Yatha Dadhi becomes Dadhi when it's mixed with yogurt karcha, but actually it is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes the form of Lord Shiva or Shambhu for the special purpose of material transactions. So I offer respectful basis at his lotus feet. So this is Brahma Samhita 5:45. So that's how the material creation created to facilitate the those living entities who desire to be separate from God is coming to being. Narayana and Lakshmi, they transform into Shiva and Durga. So when Lord Shiva is doing his duty as the guna avatar of Tamoguna, and he's destroying the universe, we should always understand that this is he's not influenced, he's not under the influence of Maya, because he's, as Bhagavatam also described him, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He's the best of all Vaishnavas. So Vaishnavas, or devotees of Lord Vishnu, they are never touched by Maya. So although he is in direct contact with Maya, he's aloof and he's always tranquil. That is his position, and he always constantly meditates on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. That's what it's described in the Shastras. So of course we see that in some places in Bhagavatam even, and in Mahabharata, for example, of the thousand names of Vishnu, some of the names are, for example, Shiva and Rudra, which can indicate that, well, they are not different. Rudra or Shambhu is the same as Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu says, actually, in fourth canto of Bhagavata Purana also, that Shiva and Brahma, they are not different from me. So in this sense, there are statements that the guna avatars, they are equal to Vishnu, but we have to analyze the scriptures very carefully and see that this is from the point of view of that they are empowered with the special Shakti or power of the Lord to do specific particular service. That's why they are considered so much equal to Him. They are doing such a responsible duty in the material world. But you know, we see that there are people, devotees of Shiva, that they consider him to be the supreme. However, this is not substantiated by the Vedas. Even in Rig Veda, in the oldest scriptures, it says, Om Tad Vishno Paramam Paragam Sada Pashyanti Surya. Yeah, the supreme goal, which is like the shining as the rays of the sun, are the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is the topmost destination. And we see, of course, Lord Shiva himself. He, in many, many places, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in many other Puranas, in Pancharatras, he again and again makes the statement, Narayana Paro Vyaktas. Narayana is the supreme. His wife, Parvati Durga, asks him, who should be worshipped? Who is the topmost personality to be worshipped? He says, Narayana is the topmost. But then he says, but actually, there is even a higher form of worship than worshipping directly Narayana. Anyone knows? Tadiyam. It's the associates of the Lord or things connected with the Lord. So the Vaishnavas especially, the devotees of the Lord, this is a higher worship because that is more pleasing to Vishnu or Krishna than the worship to worship directly him. So therefore, we see that the statements of Shiva himself are always subservient, always praising the Lord, always meditating. He never says, Aham sarvasya prabhuvo, matas sarvam pravartati. He never says, you know, I'm the source of everything, nothing is higher than me. But Krishna says that. That's the statement of Shastra, which all schools accept in India, the Gita. But Vishnu, he is the supreme, and sometimes we see these stories in the Bhagavad Purana also, like the sages, they are confused. Who is the supreme deity of all the three? They have discussions. Everyone has different arguments, and let's do a test, you know. And they decide let's Bhrigu Muni be the vehicle for the test, and then he should go to the different deities and see, you know. And he devised a special test, and he went to each of the guna avatars, to Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, and he practically offended each of them to see how they will react. Of course, we shouldn't do that. He's a very powerful sage, and also he was empowered by the others to do that. So he went to Brahma and he insulted him. And Brahma was upset, and Shiva got angry because he didn't follow the etiquette. And he went to Vishnu, and you know, different. First, he offended Shiva by behavior, but not saying anything in the mind, but by not observing proper etiquette of respect. And Brahma with words, and Vishnu, he physically offended by kicking him, actually, putting his foot on Vishnu's, chest. And Lord Vishnu neither became angry, nor upset, not offended. He just said, oh, my dear sage, I'm so sorry that my chest probably was too hard for your soft feet. Please sit down and let me worship you. So that was the conclusion of the sages. Yes, Vishnu is the highest deity. And sometimes we see again in Bhagavad Purana, Shiva fights with the Lord, with Narayana, with Krishna. So why is that? You know, in the story of Banasura, Banasura was a demon who worshipped Lord Shiva. Many demons worship Lord Shiva. Ravana was one of them, because he's Ashutosh, very easily pleased. And, you know, you offer him a one type of fruit he likes, and one special flower, a little water. Just offer that. He's okay. What do you want? Oh, I want a nice husband. Okay, that us to make a, let it be like that. So I want this and that. The demons, they want something more. They want, I want to control. I want to be the boss of the universe. Okay. So Ravana actually became. And this, there's another Vrikasura, another demon. He was so determined to get the mercy of Lord Shiva and get a special boon that he was offering oblations in the fire, Om Shivaya Namaha, and you know, offering, and he was thinking, where is the my deity? You know, where is me? He should come out of the fire at one point, personified and accept my. But he was not coming, so he started cutting his flesh and throwing in the fire. You know, very tamasic, very horrible type of offering. Of course, who will become pleased by, you know, if you throw your meat at him. But anyway, at one point he decided, I should probably cut my head and offer it. So he was just ready to throw his head as ultimate offering. And then Shiva came, okay, so what do you want? Well, I want the boon. You know, just like Prabhupada explains that Shiva is worshipped by dull-headed demons. So it's an example of Vrikasura, the dull-headed demon. And he's like, such a stupid boon. I want that anyone whom I touch, that his head will burst. For this you are ready to die, you know, so that you can touch anyone and burst their head. It's so foolish. So Shiva said, okay, you know, I have to agree. You know, I came here, and I said, I will fulfill your desire, let it be. And then Vrikasura thought, let me test it. Who is nearby? Oh, Shiva. And then Shiva started running, and Vrikasura was after him, I want to touch your head. So then he went to Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu said, okay, I'll take care. So he appeared to Vrikasura and said, come on, do you really believe him? He is fond of joking, and he also cheats a lot of times. So do you really believe that what he said, that it's true? Try it yourself, you know. Touch your head and you see that it will not work. And he immediately touched him. He died. So it's another story that shows that Vishnu is the Supreme and Lord Shiva his devotee. But in the other pastimes with Krishna, with Banasura, he gave him this blessing that he will have so many hands and he will be a big fighter. So this demon was so powerful that he couldn't really find a good opponent, and he was praying to Lord Shiva, can you arrange somebody to fight with me that I could be happy? You know, this is, I cannot find, everyone comes and I just smash them with my, you know, power. So Lord Shiva said, yes, I bless you to find the best opponent that he will smash your pride. So normally Krishna kills all the demons, you know, in his pastimes, all the demons, they come and attack him, he kills them all. But this one, he didn't kill. He cut all his hands besides two. And why he left him? Because he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. A very sincere devotee, actually. But in the fight, Lord Shiva also came to help Banasura. And he also fought with Krishna. So one may say, you know, he produced this Shiva Jwar, you know, this super ferocious, you know, entity who was like a very, very powerful and fiery. And but, you know, he lost. And he offered prayers and all that. But one may ask, well, if he is a devotee, why he fights? And that's the point. And we should understand, if he is Vaishnavana Myatashambhu, he's the topmost devotee, then he is doing anything and everything which is pleasing to Krishna. So that doesn't mean that he's always like this. You know, sometimes Krishna wants a good fight. Like Prabhupada said, he wants to keep the body fit and he wants a good fight. And who can fight with him the best? His devotees. You know, so sometimes they come like Jaya Vijaya, become demons, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Or Lord Shiva comes, you know, he fights. And sometimes Indra, you know, another story, he fights also. He's a devotee, but he fights. And Krishna likes that. But they don't fight with the aim to kill Vishnu or with a hate to Vishnu, they fight because that's their service. And they become angry like Shiva because, again, that's his service. So we should understand clearly his position. That's the purport of this verse. It's, he is almost Vishnu, but is different. You know, it's later on we'll see the description actually gives the qualities of the different tattvas in percentage. So if Krishna, Govinda, the absolute truth, Vindam Adi Purusham, Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. He's 100% Supreme Bhagavatam, Bhagavan, the absolute truth. Then Vishnu, the other avatars, the other forms, expansions, or emanations, they are 94% of the, they have 94% of the power, the qualities. And then after that, below that is Lord Shiva, who is 84%. So he's not Jiva, he's not Vishnu, but he's in between. And then you have the Jivas who have 78% of the qualities in the minute quantity. So what should be our attitude towards Lord Vishnu? Of course, we worship him. And towards Lord Shiva, well, we have this offense. Don't consider the names and the demigods as equal to Lord Vishnu. So shall we ignore him, or what shall we do? Or shall we just completely disregard him, like, oh, he's a demigod. We have nothing to do with demigods. What shall we do? What should be our attitude? Because he's a person. He's a powerful person. He's the most powerful in the material universe. So he is aware of everything what's going on in the universe. So we do have relationship each and every living entity. So what should be our attitude? Yeah, we should respect him. What do? Because Vaishnavam Natashan Bhu. It's like this. Bhagavatam 12th canto describes Nimna Ganan Nyatha Ganga. Of all the rivers that go to the ocean, which one is the best? Ganga. Devanam Achuto Yatha. Of all the devas or the deities, which is the best, the highest? Achuta. Hari, Krishna. And Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Of all the Vaishnava devotees of the world, who is the best? Lord Shiva. And Purananam Idam Tatha. Of all the Puranas, which is the best? This one. Bhagavatam. So if, you know, Shiva is the best devotee of Vishnu, what do we do? If the best devotee is, if we know here's the best devotee, if he comes here, and we know here's the best devotee, what do we do? We will worship him, we'll offer him prayers, we'll pray to him, please, you know, because what the best devotee can do for us? He can bless us with pure bhakti. That's why, you know, devotees, he assists in the Lord in all kinds of pastimes, inner creation, maintenance, destruction of the world, but also in his intimate pastimes. He goes in Vrindavan when Krishna appears there. He goes there and wants to see and worship his Lord when Krishna is small. But, you know, it's not so easy because he is Shiva. He's covered with ashes and the snake and the skulls. And then Mother Yashoda saw him. There is one place, actually, in Vrajamandala, where this particularly happened. So he wanted to see Krishna, but Mother Yashoda saw him, said, "Hey, Baba, you know, you're like too scary. I can see you're a great sage. I offer my pranams to you, but, you know, what do you want? I just want to see, Gopal." No, not possible. You scare my Lala. No, go away." And so Shiva was, "Oh, what to do?" He was upset, but he wanted really to see him. And so anyway, Krishna later on gave him audience. But there is also another instance that he wanted to see also the rasa dance. And he had a friend, one sage. So they went and they wanted to see the rasa dance. And of course, you can imagine again Lord Shiva as he's dressed, you know, with in this way and with the matted hairs. And then the sage probably was also very skinny and rough with beard and hair. So they go and can we see Rasalila, you know. But, you know, Paurnamasi, she is in charge, she's Yogamaya personified, and she's like, you don't look like, you know, you don't fit here somehow in the scene, you know. It's just another scene. So, but still, you know, we really want to see. So, I mean, probably that sage wanted that for 100,000 years and did worship. Like there is in Padma Purana description of different sages, there's one called Ugratapas. Ugratapas means like severe, you know, austerities. He was doing severe austerities for 60,000 years and worshipping Radha and Krishna. And then he took birth as a gopi when Krishna appeared. So that's it's not so easy to enter the rasa dance. You have to do something. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So then they went there, and Purnima said, "All right, I'll make arrangements." So they went to one kunda, Mansarovar. It's still there. It's like a natural lake, quite big. It's in Vrajamandal Parikram. So she just dipped them inside, and they came out as girls. Still with some features which are reminding Shiva, and gopis were looking at him a little bit strange. But they gave him, "Yeah, you can come." But his service was to guard, actually. And then that's why he's called Gopishvara. He's Gopishvara Mahadev in Vrindavana. This is one of the 5,000 years old deities. He is the guardian of the dam. Yeah. He protects the holy dam from everyone who is not authorized to enter. So therefore, devotees, especially in this form of Lord Shiva, they worship him to give them entrance to the dham. Sanatan Goswami was going every day. You know where is Madan? Those who have been in Vrindavan, Madan Mohan Temple, that's the temple which through Sanatana Goswami was built through his arrangement for his lord, Madan Mohan. So this is in one side of Vrindavan. Gopishwar Mahadev is a few kilometers away. So he was walking every day to pay obeisances to Lord Shiva and worship him. But when he became too old, it was too difficult. And he was an old man. So Lord Shiva came in his dream and said, "Look, you don't need to walk so much. I'll come near you." So he manifested himself in another lingo. And there is another form of Lord Shiva, very close to Madan Mohan. So he was going, Lord Chaitanya, so many instances were in his tour of South India, when he approached Puri also. He, in Bhuvaneshwara, he entered the temple of Lord Shiva and he offered respect. This is the proper attitude. We should, and especially we should ask him to bless us, to be able to enter the Vrindavan Dham, to give us actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In one of his prayers, he's saying, Vrindavanani Pati. So he says of the land of Vrindavan, he's the Lord. Pati Vrindavanani Pati. Soma, he's the one who is the Souma, the husband of Uma or Parvati, and Maule Sanakana Sanandana Naradedya, one who is worshipped by Sanaka, by the Kumaris, by Narada Muni. And then he says, Gopishvara Vrajavilas Yugangri Padme, the one who serves in the Yugala pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Prema Prayacha Nirupadhi. Namo Namaste. I offer obeisances to you, and please ask you, grant me with the prema, with this unlimited nirupadi prema, Kayacha. Please give me this prema of service of Radha Krishna. So this is the attitude of the devotee towards Lord Shiva. Thank you very much for your attention. Are there any questions, comments? Yes. Mataji. She was first. Well, you see there are many statements like Narada is the best devotee, Prahlad is the best devotee, or Shiva is the best devotee. This is an expression. Within the material world, of all the living entities who are here, Lord Shiva is of course, he is considered the topmost. But Srimati Radharani, she is the personification of devotion, she is the Haladini Shakti of the Lord, she is his, Prabhupada says, tender half of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So that's she is no different from Krishna, and she is the personification of service or devotion to him. So she is, of course, the topmost devotee in that sense. But otherwise, from the devotees in the material world, Lord Shiva is considered the best. Yeah. No, not the Prajapatis. They are earlier in the phase of creation. The Prajapatis are after Brahma. Lord Shiva and Parvati, they are like Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya. That's the root of the material energy, and Lord Shiva is the principle through which Lord Vishnu impregnates. But that's earlier. Later on, Brahma comes, and then he starts creating, and he populates the universe through the Prajapatis, but not. Lord Shiva is not the one who populates. He doesn't create species of life. You know, he has, of course, Kartikeya, Ganesh, but, you know, we don't, there are no, not like the other Prajapatis, they create species. All the species of life we see, they're created by the different sons of Brahma, the Prajapatis like Daksha and many others. So their role is not in that stage of creation. Yes? Well, that's why I gave example of Sanatana Goswami. You know, it's not that it's one or the other. Of course, their worshipable object is Srimati Radharani. That's the goal of their life, to be servants of her. But they know that the mercy of Lord Shiva is essential in getting the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So that's why they pray. So there is no contradiction. I mean, in even if you're not that elevated and in a sense that desiring the goal of Prema Bhakti, even if you don't know so much, but you just want to acknowledge the Lord and like that and start worshipping Shiva, that's Prabhupada in one conversation, they were saying, well, this such and such, you know, he's chanting Om Shivaya Namaha. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. I said, because they were saying, he's not chanting Hare Krishna, just Om Shivaya Namaha. Well, that's all right. And they are, that's all right? He said, yes, he's worshipping a devotee, and if he's doing it sincerely, he'll get the benefit. If Lord Shiva is pleased with him, he'll teach him. And we have instances, I heard of someone who is so sincere, and Lord Shiva appears, or somehow instructs him. Now, you know, you have to, the real worshippers for Krishna, now you have to do this and this, go to Vrindavan or something like that. So, but because he accepts any kinds of people, you know, any kinds of, he's the Buddha Raj, he's all demons and ghosts and goblins and all kinds of creatures, they take shelter at him because he accepts them. He's so, you know, merciful. And then they, I mean, even all impersonalists, these people who just want to merge, so they chant not just Om Shivaya Namaha, they chant Shivoham, you know, I'm Shiva. Which, you know, they worship Shiva with the aim of becoming one with Shiva, and then they think, now I became Shiva through some meditation, you know, 1 hour a day or even 10 minutes a day, I become Shiva and my girlfriend is Parvati, and then we're moving the universe. It's so foolish. But this is what they're doing in personalist Mayavadis. Mayavadis, they worship Lord Shiva, but again not as a devotee, as some kind of the personification of the ultimate impersonal Brahman. So this is not pleasing for Lord Shiva, so he doesn't really care for them. and doesn't bless them. But a devotee can ask him for blessings to attain the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, and he's ready to give that for a sincere soul. Yes. Mm-hmm. Why? Why we approach? Why we worship Krishna, not Vishnu? Why we worship Krishna or not Vishnu? In prayers. Oh, why we use prayers for Vishnu? Why we worshiping Krishna or? Yeah. Because it's the same person. Yeah, but he's the same person. So he doesn't have a few of his special qualities. He doesn't play flute. That's one of the qualities. He doesn't have a unlimited a personal ecstatic exchanges with his devotees like we see in Goloka Vrindavana with all rasas. With Lord Vishnu you don't find this. In Narayana and Vaikuntha you don't find this type of exchanges. You have mainly Aishwarya, Dasya Ras, this type of service. Everything is opulent. Everybody worships Narayan. Everything is blissful, Vaikuntha, and supremely happy. But there is no such intimacy. So he doesn't have a few of the qualities of Krishna. Special sweetness, that's another. That he's of course unlimitedly beautiful and powerful and like that, because he's the same person, but it's just the formal side. Just like, you know, Prabhupada gives this example, you have the judge in the court, he goes, it's very formal, everybody stands up, you know, and they are very respectful, everybody respects the judge is also very serious, he doesn't joke, you know, he's okay, this, he just gives the judgment, and this is his role, you know, he puts a special cold and like that. But he goes home and then his grandson is, daddy, you know, grandpa, whatever, you know, jumps on him and let's play and kicks him and this and that. So he's completely, is the same person but in a different mood and very sweet and very accessible and very, so this is Krishna's, you know, Supreme Bhagavan. He's the most lovable, sweet, and he—that is his most intimate form of God. He likes to joke, to dance, to sing, to play. You know, that's what he's doing there in Goloka. Lord Vishnu is his formal side. He, you know, he's opulent. He's the God. You know, Krishna in Vrindavan, he's not God. Nobody cares what he is, God or not. He's just our, you know, most lovable friend, lover, son, like that, master. So this is the difference. But, you know, in prayers we see, like, for example, you see Mukunda Mala Stotra by King Kulakshekar. He has so many, you know, he prays to Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and to Lord Krishna also. Because there is no difference. Ultimately, they are the same. But normally, why we offer prayers? Because while we are at the stage of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, the part of sadhana which is called vaidhi, we just follow the rules and regulations. We cannot approach Krishna as yuga form like Radha and Krishna. So even when we worship Radha Krishna in the temple, we actually worship them like Lakshmi Narayana. That's the opulent mood and way of worship. Our prayers are like Lakshmi Narayana, like this. So because we are sadhaka bhaktas, we are vaidhi, we are doing a service, you know, in this stage of formal worship. So Krishna doesn't accept formal. You can approach Krishna only through raga, through spontaneous devotion. He doesn't accept formal service. So he accepts that as Narayana. That's why you offer prayers like that sometimes to even to Radha Krishna, but like which are addressed to Vishnu. That's his formal side. And he accepts it, but we mean what we mean. It doesn't mean that, okay, I said a prayer to Gopinath, but you know, it was a prayer addressing Vishnu. Will I end up in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan? No, you'll end up wherever you want, wherever your focus is, your meditation is. If your goal is Radha Krishna, you attain them. It doesn't matter. Oh, we're singing every day Narasimha prayers. It doesn't mean that, oh, because we're singing Narasimha, we are distracted. No, it's a form of Krishna. We for a devotee, it depends on you. It's a heart connection. You know, if you're a devotee of Krishna, and he's your worshipable object, he's your Ishtadeva, the Lord of your heart, then you see everyone else, from the Vishnu Tattva, as just different side feature of the personality of your Lord. So you see Vishnu, you see Narasimhadev, you see all the forms and avatars. Oh, Krishna is so nice. You know, he's playing like this now. You see, sometimes he shows his different forms to the gopis and they are clapping and laughing and look at this, this is really funny form, you know, he made. But this is the way they see. Sometimes, you know, he appears like Narayan and they immediately, they're very respectful, you know. Have you seen, by the way, one boy with a flute? We're looking for him in the forest, but, you know, they're very immediately respectful. This is same Krishna, but, you know, when he's with four arms, formal, immediately respectful. But they, if Krishna shows that form, they say, oh, this is your other face. So this is the way. And if you're a devotee of Lord Vishnu, that's your goal. You want to go, you just, that's what your, you know, your mood is. Then you'll see Krishna as well. He's a different side of, different form of Vishnu. He's, yeah, like so many Sri Vaishnava devotees of Lord Vishnu. They accept Krishna, they worship Krishna, like in Udupi. The main deity in the Madhva Sampradaya is Udupi Krishna, but they don't necessarily desire to go to Krishna Loka. They worship him as one form of Vishnu. The main goal is Narayana and Vaikuntha, and then they go. It depends on your. So it doesn't matter really what kind of prayer you say, as long as the object of your prayer is Krishna, then even if it's a prayer to Vishnu, then you say, you're addressing it through in this way. Anything else? Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.